What is it?
Sora was sent to tell me I must rake and cover the latrine.
That's right. Everyone takes their turn.
It is the work of untouchables.
In this place, there are no untouchables, and no work is beneath any of us.
I'm your wife.
All the more reason.
As you command. The others may follow you, but you forget. I knew you when you were a boy.
It's not me. It's the principle. And you will do it with joy or not do it at all.
A clip from the movie Gandhi. Gandhi is famous throughout the world for being, in many ways, the father of nonviolence. His leadership led to a peaceful transition in India from British rule to independence in 1950. David Attenborough's biopic Gandhi won 8 Oscars in 1982. The movie's message and its visual splendor were too much for the Academy to ignore. But how does the movie Gandhi hold up today? Writer Raihan Salam addressed that question in his article Meet the Hindustani Malcolm X for Slate magazine. He told Steve Paulson that Gandhi may have been about an Indian man, but it was a thoroughly Western movie.
It was certainly important in India, but it's a very un-Indian movie. When you think about the Indian cinema industry, or even there's actually a little clip where Richard Attenborough is talking about his first conversation with Jawaharlal Nehru. And Nehru said to him, you can't actually cast an Indian actor as Gandhi. He actually suggested casting Alec Guinness. So actually, this is a movie very much in the style of Lawrence of Arabia, these kind of old epic movies that were not, you know, if it were an Indian movie, it would be a musical. You'd have a lot of kind of saffron, you'd have a lot of elaborate dance sequences. Well, I mean, that's not entirely fair. But it's definitely an epic. It's a Western epic that was very important at the time for a whole host of kind of complicated political reasons.
You just watched it recently. How does the movie hold up decades later?
I think it's incredibly beautiful. You can tell that enormous sums of money were spent. And the other neat thing about it is that these days, such a movie would surely be made with CGI. You're not going to generate a crowd of hundreds of thousands by actually putting ads in the newspaper and expecting people to show up. And that's exactly what they did. And though that sequence only lasted for, say, 5 minutes at the opening of the movie, the recreation of Gandhi's funeral is truly one of the most remarkable feats in movie history. And just kind of hearing about it, and some of these DVD commentaries, I mean, it's quite amusing. Ben Kingsley talking about how mischievous Indians were throwing betel nuts and flower petals at his face, hoping to get him to react, and he stone-facedly failed to do that, and they eventually gave up. It tells you something about India, I think, that they did have that kind of streak of devil-may-care playfulness. And I don't think that today in India you could get 400,000 people to show up for free. Mm-hmm. I also don't think you'd be able to close off a road. I mean, I think that people would be mightily angered by the thought that a bunch of Hollywood types were going to come in and shut down a major thoroughfare.
Now, in your essay, you say that what you especially like about the movie Gandhi is the first part, before he became the Mahatma, before he became the great soul. He's sort of this tough guy who is willing to get knocked around. Are there particular scenes that you like?
Yeah, I mean, there's one scene, for example, very early in the movie where Gandhi, outraged by his treatment at the hands of a couple of fellows on a railroad car, he has a public gathering to which only a handful of people actually end up showing up, and he burns this pass card that he, as an Indian, is obligated to carry around. And he has various comrades do the same thing. And he does this despite the fact that these very tough, you know, South African police officers are actually beating him. They're beating him with sticks. They have no hesitation about hitting him directly in the face. And he just keeps getting up, stumbling up, trying to get back on his feet to burn more of these pass cards. That is a powerfully moving scene.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have asked you to gather here to help us proclaim our right to be treated as equal citizens of the empire. The symbol of our status is embodied in this pass, which we must carry at all times, but which no European even has to have. The first step towards changing our status is to eliminate this difference between us.
We ask you, Hindu, Muslim, and Sikh, to help us light up the sky and the minds of the British authorities with our defiance of this injustice. We will now burn the passes of our committee and its supporters. We ask you to put your passes on the fire with the conviction.
Those passes are government property.
It's amazing to think that this is something any human being could do. And, you know, it's the kind of image that we associate in America with the civil rights movement. It's the kind of heroic behavior that we've seen in South Africa and elsewhere. It's the kind of thing we hope to see in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you think about the kind of courage it takes to face down authority in its meanest, ugliest face, it is truly extraordinary.
And then there's another pivotal scene when Gandhi is literally thrown off a train.
Oh, yeah. That comes right at the top of the movie. And it's interesting because, you know, how old could he have been in that scene? Surely he was in his very early 20s. He's a very smartly dressed guy. And he's, at the very beginning, trying to have a kind of thoughtful, intellectual conversation with a porter, which goes to show what an eccentric he is, in a good way, I think. And then these guys come in and he tries to use logic. You know, he's trying to employ, you know, kind of mental rhetorical jujitsu, and it's compelling to watch.
Just what are you doing in this car, Kuli?
I have a ticket. A first class ticket.
How did you get hold of it?
I sent for it in the post. I'm an attorney and I didn't have time.
There are no colored attorneys in South Africa. Go and sit where you belong.
I'll take your luggage back, sir.
No. Just a moment, please. You see? Mohandas K. Gandhi, attorney at law. I'm on my way to Pretoria to conduct a case for an Indian trading firm.
Didn't you hear me? There are no colored attorneys in South Africa.
Sir, I was called to the bar in London and enrolled at the High Court of Chancery. I am, therefore, an attorney. And since I am, in your eyes, colored, I think we can deduce that there is at least one colored attorney in South Africa.
Smart bloody Kaffir. Throw him.
Just move your black ass back to third class, or I'll have you thrown over the next station.
But I always go first class. I've traveled all...
What do you think of Ben Kingsley's portrayal of Gandhi?
Well, I think the consensus opinion, and I think the consensus opinion is right in this case, is that it was one of the most truly extraordinary performances in movie history. That sounds like hyperbole, but I think it's exactly right. The guy was in his mid-30s. He very much dedicated himself to the part. I mean, he stood out in the hot sun for hours, days at a time in order to get the tan that made him look so Gandhi-like. He lost a tremendous amount of weight. And again, here's a guy in his mid-30s who becomes, he transforms himself into a doddering, elderly, gray-haired, half-toothless man wearing a loincloth that Ben Kingsley, I've been led to understand, actually made himself. So I think that, you know, when you talk about dedication, I mean, it's hard to imagine many actors doing that.
Mm-hmm. What about the movie's take on the whole independence movement in India? Does it get it right?
Does it get it right? I think in the broad sense that India's independence movement intended to do something very good. They encountered a lot of very tough obstacles. There was a lot of tough wrangling over what to do with some, you know, kind of deep problems internal to India, namely the kind of communal divide between Hindus and Muslims. And I think that for a 5 or 6 year old, I think that it does a pretty good job of portraying the relevant issues. I think that for anyone else, however, it gives you a very skewed picture of what was at stake. I think what the movie does is portray Gandhi and Nehru as good guys and someone like Jinnah as a bad guy, when the truth is, you know, a lot more complicated. Jinnah thought that he really was protecting the interests of the Muslims. Now, granted, in the movie, you see him say that he cares about protecting the interests of the Muslims, but you also see him say that he doesn't care about the likelihood that millions would die or that other Muslims would be stranded, which is just weird.
Well, and you're also suggesting that Richard Attenborough, in making this movie, had a particular agenda. It was to spread the message of nonviolence. I mean, essentially to portray, I mean, to focus on Gandhi, the peace activist. And in fact, didn't the movie have a huge impact on peace movements around the world?
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. And I think that in that regard, Attenborough was incredibly successful. You know, when I listen to Attenborough in interviews, he just strikes me as a very thoughtful person. And even when talking about Gandhi and the different, you know, kind of historical problems many people have had, you know, you get the sense that he really did want to tell a story that was moving and compelling and that would spread what he saw as Gandhi's message of nonviolence, of peaceful resistance to horrible injustice. And, you know, just the effect that the movie, I've been led to understand, had on activists in South Africa. I mean, that's reason enough to kind of heartily endorse the movie and to celebrate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Raihan, thank you. This has been interesting.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Raihan Salam wrote the article "Meet the Hindustani Malcolm X" for Slate Magazine. Steve Paulson spoke with him.